Title of my message, this is another message on apostasy, is the assault of apostates on God's authority. The assaults of apostates on God's authority. We need families who are strong in the faith. We need men who are leaders in their homes, who will guide their homes according to the Word of God and have their children in the Word of God so that they can pass on the faith to their families. Men, don't leave it just to your wives to do. You're commanded, men, to bring up your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I so appreciate grandparents as they get the opportunity, as they try and pass on the faith to their grandchildren. And this is so much needed. You know, there was a time when the public schools would pass on basic morality and basic principles to children that would coincide with the scripture. But for the most part, those days are past now. They become places to teach evolution, places to teach humanism, places to teach sexual perversion as we know it. Pastor Longstein just read from Jude. There's only one chapter, so it'd be in verse 11. He said, "Woe unto them that are gone in the way of Cain and run greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." We'll come back to that verse a little bit later. I'd like to remind you that the definition of apostasy, since that's what we're talking about, when you're looking at apostasy with reference to the Christian faith, it is a renunciation and an abandonment of the Christian faith. It is the act of departing from the Christian faith. And I'm talking about the Christian faith as framed by the scriptures. There's a lot of things, and a lot of people call themselves Christians that have no clue what New Testament faith is all about. You know, apostasy has been around as long as the apostles. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. Here's the apostle Paul, and he established the church of Ephesus, and Paul is warning the Ephesian elders to remember and to look out for the apostates that would come after he left. You see, one of the things that we need to understand is that an apostate doesn't come with a big tattoo on his head that says, "I'm an apostate," or a woman doesn't come with a big tattoo on her arm that says, "I'm an apostate." They don't advertise themselves as apostates. But the Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30, he says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves," look at this, "enter in among you." So they're going to be in the church. "Enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves," right within yourselves, "shall men arise," look at this now, "speaking perverse things." And they have an agenda. They speak those perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Apostasy started way back in the times of the Apostle Paul, at the beginning of the church, and it's snowballing. You know what I mean by snowballing? When in wet snow, when you roll a snowball, it gets bigger and bigger. I was over my son's house one time when it had gotten snow, and Keith and his two brothers and Steve made this huge snowball set outside there. And it's snowball. You start little, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Timothy was warned of Paul that as the church moved on in its age, apostasy would get worse and worse. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 13 and 14. In 2 Timothy, we looked at this last week, but just to remind you, chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Actually, I'm reading, that's right. In verse 14, it says this, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them." So, more and more deceivers come into the church. And there's a reason why that happens. I am alarmed amongst Bible-professing Christians how many Bible-professing Christians are ignorant of the Word of God. It's easier to be deceived when you're ignorant of the Word of God. Apostasy is going to reach its peak, its apex, after the rapture of the church is out of here and the Antichrist comes and installs the one world church. I was just reading an article yesterday, as a matter of fact, where you have Catholics and Christians Hindus that are getting together talking about the commonness of their faith. That's really not anything new to me, because when I was down at the 100th anniversary of the Parliament for the World Religions, you had all these religions together, and I was interviewing this witch. Yes, she was a witch, and she was saying, "Well, you know, we need to get together because we all do share the very core values." I'm thinking, huh? Yeah, she says, "Well, you should love one another. You should love the earth." Well, the devil and his human minions are waging a war against Christianity and against born-again believers. He's waging an all-out assault on the faith once delivered for the saints. I mean, we clearly have in our New Testament the faith that we are supposed to follow. And the first thing that the devil attacks is God's authority. I want to just clearly get you to think and answer the question in your mind, who is the final authority in your life? Now, you probably all would say God and the Word of God. You'd probably say that. But I would like you to ponder whether that's really true or not, because then in your decisions, do you demonstrate that that's true? One of the ways that Satan really works subtly is that if he can get you to question God's authority, then ultimately he can get you to reject God's authority. It starts with questioning. I mean, go back. It's as old as Eden. The devil in the form of the serpent came to Eden and confronted Eve and said, "Yea, hath God said." Did God really say that? I constantly am reading articles written by pathetic pastors and Christian leaders who say, "We should rethink this," or "We should rethink that." Well, it's okay to rethink some things, but when you have clearly delineated things in the scriptures You don't need to rethink anything. You just need to obey it. And yet there's so many people who will fall, well, maybe I should rethink that. Be cautious, because if the devil can get you to question God's authority, then he can get you to reject God's authority. Now, I was reading in Psalm 62, verse 11. It says, God hath spoke once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. God is the ultimate authority, as is his Son, Jesus Christ. And there will be a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. You know what that means? That means the ultimate authority. When Jesus is Lord, there will be a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. I suggest that we as Christians do that now. I'm thinking about Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, that's certainly the King James Version of the Bible has the word power there. That is exactly the right word for our English language. But the underlying preserved Textus Receptus, there are three different words for power. There is dunamis, and then there is this one, exousia. And when it says all power, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. What does that mean? Well, you look at the word exousia, and it certainly means the power, but it is the right and the might. Do you understand that? Jesus Christ has the right, but he also has the might to enforce the power that's given unto him. Hence, Jesus is saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, the great problem that we're seeing in the lives of Christians today, and it first happened in the lives of our culture, the life of our culture, is that there's no fear, or very little fear, of God today, even amongst Christians. Even amongst Christians. Despite the fact that God is the absolute authority, and despite the fact that when people stand before Almighty God, they will bow and confess that he is the authority, that he is the Lord. There are people who clearly reject the authority of God. And one example is given in Jude chapter 1, verse 11. And that's, Pastor Longsine pronounced it right, Kor. That's the Greek spelling of the Old Testament, Korah. It's used as an illustration. And it says in Jude 1:11 that was read, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Well, let me take you back to Cain just a minute. You see, God had clearly outlined how he would be worshipped. You could not approach God without the blood. And what did Cain do? He didn't like the blood, so he brought the works of his hands and said, if I'm going to worship you, I'm going to worship you the way I want to worship you. And though he did not say that, we don't see it recorded with his lips. That's what he did. He brought the works of his hands to worship the Lord. And you know what God did? God said, I reject that. God set the rules. God can tell us how it is. And if we don't do it accordingly as God says, don't be surprised if he rejects it. Because he did it with Cain. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you would do right, I would accept your worship. There's people today who want to tell God how salvation is. I'm working my very hardest, and I'm trying to earn my way to heaven, and I'm trying to serve you, and I'm trying to love everybody. Time out. And the scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus will not accept our good works, as sincere as we might be about them, because all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And he has designed a way for us to be saved, and that is by Jesus Christ shedding his own blood on the cross of Calvary and dying for our sins, because we're all sinners. And the only people, despite what Pope Francis says, if we get to it in our message, all people need to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Pope Francis says that even atheists are going to heaven. Well, I want to tell you something. There's a bunch of people who claim to be Christians who are saying that there really isn't a hell and everybody's going to heaven. I am telling you that is a lie, and the reason that people are deceived into believing that is because they don't know the Word of God, and they don't even know such simple verses as John 3:16 through 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The only way that a person gets to heaven is by turning from their sins and calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And then all your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. If you do not acknowledge God in the flesh and you are an atheist, you will go to hell, despite what the Pope says. But you see, there's so many people who want a bloodless, hellless Christianity. And they'll say, oh, we're all brothers and sisters. We're all children of God. No. Wait just a minute. You're all children of God by faith. He's my brother. He's my brother. She's my sister. Why? Because they have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But as many as receive them, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Cain tried to worship God the way that he wanted to worship God, and that didn't work. And then there's Balaam, and Balaam wanted to curse Israel so he could get money. And he was rebuked by the ass that he was riding. It's a good thing, because he would have been killed right on the spot. And then there is the gainsaying of Korah. Before you can understand what that's all about, you need to understand what the word gainsay means. It's not a word that we use in our everyday conversation. It means to contradict. It means to speak against. It means to oppose in words. It means to resist. It means to dispute, and it has the flavor of open rebellion. So, Korah contradicted the authority of God and the authority of Moses, and he rebelled against God, and he rebelled against Moses. And the context of what Pastor Longsine read is Numbers chapter 16. Moses was personally called of God to lead Israel. He brought along Aaron with him, and Korah rebelled against God's appointed authority, and he incited others in leadership positions to do the same. And he and his companions openly opposed Moses, and God did not take their rebellion lightly. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their families were swallowed up alive into hell, Numbers 16 says. I want to tell you something, men. How you behave and live spiritually has an effect on your family. I also want to tell you another thing. You know, some people think because God isn't in the business, if all of a sudden, this morning, those who are living false lives, the church clave, and you fell into the pit alive into hell, believe me, there would be a different spirit next Sunday. You know, if God did an Ananias and Sapphira, there would be a different spirit. But God has chosen in his grace not to do that. But there will be a judgment time, friends. And see, what happened was, is not only that, the fire of the Lord burned 250 leaders who had rebelled with Korah. And when the Israelites complained, they complained, "Oh, God's judgment is too bad." They were laying the blame at Moses for the deaths. The Lord sent a plague that would kill all the Israelites, and Moses sent Aaron to the tabernacle to make an atonement sacrifice for the people. And Numbers 16:48 says, "And he, Aaron, stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed." In the time it took Aaron to get to the tabernacle and make atonement for the people, 14,700 people died. I just want to say that though God is not operating in quite that same way today as he did in the time of Moses, rejecting God's authority is a serious matter. And you know where God's authority is today? The B-I-B-L-E. And there is judgment going on today amongst believers and in our culture as well. And though people, the earth is an opening and people aren't being swallowed up to date, I'm not saying that might not happen. When you see some of the things that have happened in Oklahoma. But here's what happens. Matthew 4:4, God said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." You know what that tells me? There is a standard. There is something that tells us what is right and what is wrong, and we are fools if we, number one, don't know that standard, and number two, we don't apply that standard. And here's what's happening in our nation and in our churches and amongst Baptists and amongst this congregation when we don't know God's word. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 describes it. Here's what happens. "That we be henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive." Christians, by and large, don't read their Bibles. I wouldn't do it to you, but I want you to think about it. And if the shoe fits, wear it. How many of you read your Bibles last week? Did you read them 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Did you read your Bible an hour? 2 hours? 5 hours? People, by and large, don't read their Bibles today. Christians, by and large, don't read their Bibles today. If you don't read it, you don't know it. And if you don't know it, you can't obey it. So that's why apostasy is making such headway today. I was just told during the prayer time that one of the big churches in Wisconsin now has elected a homosexual bishop. You know, Hosea said in 4:6, "My people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." Now listen, "that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God, I will forget thy children." That's what's happening today. The children are getting all caught up in the world. You know why? Mom and daddy were way too busy making their money and doing their own thing to be able to give their children a solid foundation. I bless each and every one of you parents who struggle to get the Word of God into your children and do something outside of bringing them to church. I know it takes effort. I asked you earlier to pray for our Supreme Court. They'll be making a decision on same-sex marriage and on sectarian prayers. Quickly here, because I'm running out of time and we have to have communion, but Pope Francis said in a mass, May 22nd, 2013, you say, "Well, why are you telling me this?" What I'm telling you is that what ultimately happens in the Roman Catholic Church, because it's the largest denomination in the United States of America, what happens in the Roman Catholic Church in the United States basically is going to affect other Protestant denominations, because so many other Protestant denominations are going back to Rome. Okay? Here's what he said: "The Lord has redeemed us all of us, with the blood of Christ, all of us, not just Catholics, everyone. Father, the atheist, even the atheists, everyone. And this blood makes us children of God of the first class. We are created children in the likeness of God, and the blood of Jesus Christ redeems us all, and we all have the duty to do good. And this commandment for everyone to do good, I think, is the beautiful path to peace." No, he's teaching their universal salvation. Now, I would admit that Christ's death on the cross of Calvary, his blood can pay and did pay for everyone's sins, but it is only good for those who repent and call upon the name of the Lord. If everybody would do that, then they could be saved. There's another mark of apostasy that's proliferating in the United States besides homosexual preachers, and that's women preachers. The Episcopal Church in America has a woman head now. Her name is Catherine Jeffers Shorey, and she says that Paul was wrong in casting the demon out of the girl in Ephesus, and that she was probably more godly than he was. She said Paul is annoyed, perhaps, for being put in his place, and he responds by depriving her of her spiritual gift, her gift of spiritual awareness. Paul can't abide something he won't see as beautiful or holy, so he tries to destroy it. It gets him thrown in prison. That's pretty much where he puts himself, by his own refusal to recognize that she, to share in God's nature just as much as he does, maybe more so. Huh? So a demon-possessed girl is more spiritual than the Apostle Paul. Let me just tell you. Apostasy embodies the rejection of God's authority. And we find God's authority in His Word. I need moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas and individuals to be in the Word of God. Then you're not going to be carried about by every wind of doctrine. You're not going to be easily deceived. But you're going to have to make time to do it. And when you read it, you're going to have to not say like so many people say to me when I'm witnessing, well, that's your interpretation. That's your opinion. Well, there's some things that are open to opinion, like we were talking in a class today. I don't know whether the book of Ruth was written by Samuel, as so many people think, or whether it was written by David. I think it was written by David, the book of Ruth. But you know what? We don't know. And so it really doesn't matter. I can have an opinion on that. But when it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and the wages of sin is death, that isn't my opinion. That's truth. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today would be a wonderful day to turn from your sins and trust Christ as your Savior. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.